often a prayer of mine is that, and it's in Jeremiah, that woe to them that speak, the pastors that speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You know, I think of that often. You know, woe to them that speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You know, because we can, you know, as men kind of have a vision of our own heart, or, you know, and if as long as it runs parallel with God's word, it's good. But, you know, we don't want to speak a vision out of our own heart. We want to speak a vision from the Lord and what the Lord wants us to speak. So let's read out of the book of Joel, the minor prophet Joel. It's Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Just an interesting book, minor prophet. Just three chapters, but some wonderful truths in contained in this. And let's read chapter 2 out of the book of Joel. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, and a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth, and the land is as the Garden of Eden before you, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and his horsemen. So shall they run, like the noise of the chariots on the top of the mountains. Shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their faces the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one on his path, and they shall fall upon the sword, and they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, and shall climb up on the houses, and shall enter in at the windows like a thief. And the earth shall quake before them, and the heaven shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch in the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among their people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. Of course, that was talked about, you know, what the northern army would do in the early part of the chapter if they didn't repent, and will drive him into the land barren and desolate, and his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness will spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and vats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And that's talked about in chapter 1, talking about those the plague of the of these different worms. Verse 26, and ye shall eat in plenty, and shall be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit among all flesh. And I think you probably, as we read this, it'll, this verse will probably, reading it here will remind you of Acts chapter 2, where Peter was preaching. But let's read verse 28 again. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Fascinating chapter. Fascinating book. Let's sing. Let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn number 5. The Praise of God. Hymn number 5. Let's kneel and pray together. Father, it is with joy that we bow before Thee, knowing, Lord, that Thou art the God that reigns, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Father, we are to have no other gods before us, and we want to acknowledge Thee as the true and the living God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And Father, we thank Thee that we can know Thee personally, that we can call Thee our Father, that we can learn of Thee in Scripture, and that we can learn of Thee even through Thy handiwork. We know that the heavens declare the glory of God, and we thank Thee for that. And the firmament showeth Thy handiwork, and Father, we praise Thee for that. And Lord, we do acknowledge our need for Thee. And Father, even as the Scripture says that Thou art our refuge and our strength, the very present help in the time of need. And Father, even as we sit here in the comfort of this building and the sanctuary, we're keenly aware of even as Brother Ken prayed and talked about, the people in Florida and the people in Houston. And Father, we lift them up. Pray that Thy will be done. We know that, Lord, in this earth we will have trials, and we're going to have tribulations, and we're going to have struggles. And Lord, we know that we have no continuing city here, Lord, that our this world is not our home. Lord, we're just passing through. And Father, our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so, Lord, we do pray for mercy. We thank Thee that Thou art a God of mercy. And we read about in Joel, even in Joel, Lord, some of the devastation that can come even from an army, as an army would attack a country. And yet, Father, Thou dost call us to repent. And we thank Thee for that call, even the call that Joel set forth. Lord, and Lord, that even as that call goes forth, God, that Thou art Lord, and Thou art God, and Thou art gracious and merciful. We're so thankful for that, slow to anger and of great kindness. And Lord, even You change Your mind at times about certain events. We see that in how that Moses prayed, and Lord, that Thou didst change Thy mind, and Thou dost offer choices. And even in Thy word, that says, choose this day whom Thou wilt serve. And as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And behold, I set before Thee a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. So, Father, our desire would be to obey and to follow Thee and to walk in Thy ways. So, God, thanks for Thy truth. We pray for those at Ignite. We know that we've prayed for them, and yet, Lord, we continue to lift them before Thee, the speakers, even many of our young people went. We just ask for Thy blessing upon them and their day and their as they wrap up their weekend together. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst produce fruit, lasting fruit from even the talks and the conversations and the fellowship, and that Thy Spirit would make lasting change. And we know, Lord, even again as Joel said, that Lord, that You would pour out Thy Spirit in the last days, and God, upon our sons and our daughters and different situations like that, we pray that Thou wouldst bless them. And we think of those in Detroit. I think the young people are in Detroit this weekend. We ask Thy blessing on them and their time together. And Father, we think of outreach coming up, and thanks for the timely message of Romans 10. How can they call if they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless someone be sent? So, Father, here we are. Send us. And, Father, give us just those right opportunities. Again, we are thankful for chances to go to prison and chances to go in the neighborhoods and different places, Lord. And our desire is just to take Thy word out. And that would be our prayer and our heart's desire, Lord. And again, just pray that Thou wouldst give us wisdom and sensitivity and compassion and direction on knowing how to proceed, and bless the young people as they put together the outreach program. We just commit that to Thee. And so, God, bless our time. Now, again, we're thankful for Thy Word. We're humbled even by it as we read it, and yet we want to tremble at Thy Word, Lord. Again, Isaiah said that to this person, while I look, the ones that are poor and of a contrite spirit and tremble at My Word. So, Lord, help us to really take Thy Word seriously. And Holy Spirit, we pray that Thou wouldst give us the strength to fulfill the law, and even as Romans 8 talks about. So, God, that just to live righteously. And again, we know that it's only through Jesus and through His blood and through His death and resurrection and then ascension and intercession for us. And Lord Jesus, thanks for interceding for us, that we can be Thy children. We can call Thee our Father, and then we can walk in Thy ways. So forgive us as we live, when we live in the flesh, and help us to live in the Spirit for Thy kingdom and for Thy glory. So guide our time. Help us to hear a vision out of Thy heart and not out of the mouth of man, would be our prayer. So God, again, bless those in Sunday school. Bless the teachers there. And again, even as Brother Ken talked about that, the importance of the teachers, give them love for the students. And Lord, and we're thankful for the fruit that we've seen, even in the converts. And just strengthen them, Lord, even the young people, those that have the new believers, Lord, and give them grace and strength to live victorious lives. So thanks, Father, for this time, and we commit it to Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, brother. Well, let's read out of the book of 1 Peter. Let's read out of chapter 1, the book of 1 Peter, for our New Testament reading. Okay, we'll start at verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Wherefore, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your soul unto in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Lots of verses there, and as we consider 1 Peter, as we consider the verses in Joel, and lots of just awesome truths. I like to think as I read through those, what are some verses as we read through here that I can grab a hold of and can make them mine? You know, Peter wrote, I don't think Peter would care if we'd grab one of the verses that he wrote here, would he? What would Peter think? You know, take some of these verses and make them yours, or make them ours, or make them mine. And the same thing with Joel. You know, I mean, some of the verses in Joel are just awesome. Let's go back to Joel, then we'll go to Peter, then we'll go home. As you think about those verses in Joel, which one would you like? You'd say, Joel, can I have that? Can I make that mine? And I think that's what the Lord wants us to do. You know, take these words and make them our own. You know what verses? Let's go to verse 25 in chapter 2, in the book of Joel. It says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I think that's just such a great concept and such a great little phrase in there. And that's something I would like to make mine. You know, because as we consider our lives and we consider the I mean, at least it's true in my life. We think, well, what do you mean the years the locusts have eaten? What about the canker worm? You know, and what about the caterpillar? And what about the palmer worm? And the great army that I sent among you? You know, what are we talking about? Well, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 4, it talks about this plague. And the plague started with the palmer worm. That which the palmer worm hath left. In other words, God sent these critters to come into the country of Judah and just clean all the grain out. I guess there would be some advantages. You wouldn't have to rake your leaves. You wouldn't have to mow your yard. I mean, everything would just be bare. Boom, it's gone. I mean, that would be it'd be quite a thing. Okay, what the palmer worm hath left, the locust ate. And that which the locust hath left, the canker worm hath the canker worm eaten. That which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Anyway, so I mean, this was sent in. God allowed these critters to come in, and then there was destruction, and then after this destruction, is this promise that God gives. And I, you know, again, you think, now do these promises from Joel apply to you and I today? Well, do you think Peter jerked that verse out of context when he was preaching? Remember when he preached, you know, that these men aren't drunk. You know, it's just, that this is the Holy Spirit being poured out. Well, Peter says that can happen any time. That can happen today. You know, obviously it's talking about, some of these verses are talking about end times and what will eventually happen. But we can, I think we can say, you know, listen, I know this applies to Judah. I know it's a different time. But, you know, God can use these verses. He could pour out his spirit anytime he wants on our sons and daughters. And your young men shall see visions, and the servants and the handmaids. He's going to pour out the spirit. And that's what we desire. I mean, it's not something that God just says, just selectively here. He can do that anytime he wants. And he certainly did it in the time of Acts. Well, and the same thing. Verse 25, I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. That's such a good promise. I think back in my life, I think of some of the decisions I made, there it's like locusts. You know, some of the decisions I made, the locusts come in, it's like the locusts are just taking over. You know, and everything is, you know, you can even see the green through the windows. But that's all gone. You know, and I mean, that would be a tragedy. If you'd wake up in the morning and everything green would be gone. I mean, these... How would you know, all these insects come in and just overwhelm, and then that's what happened. But, just to have the promise and say, God, you can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I mean, that's a verse that we can keep in mind, and it's such a comfort to me that God can restore those years. You know, we've made some decisions that are not maybe the best, but God can redeem those. God can make the best out of those. I can restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Now, what is as many of the prophets, there's a call to repentance. And so go to verse 12 in chapter 2. And again, another great promise. We read about the army that would be coming. You know, and talked about this army that was the mighty men that are coming, the chariots in verse 5, that, you know, the chariots will come, they're set in battle array, and they're coming in like a flood. You know, the enemy comes in like a flood. And yet before that happens, there's a warning. And I'm so thankful. You know, God gives warnings. And he says, I could change my mind about this if you guys would repent. Verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord. And again, this was written to the people of Judah, but it applies to today. this 2017. Now also saith the Lord, turn ye even to me, or return to me. Turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. You know, and again, sometimes we think, oh, we've gone too far. We God's not going to accept. God's not going to accept me. Well, no, that's not true. We've done things that I don't think God will forgive us for. That's not true. He says, you come to me, but look at the heart that God wants. You, in total, he wants all your heart. You know, underline all your heart. And there's fasting. You know, and fasting can be good. You know, fasting for a meal, or fasting for two meals, or fasting for three meals, or whatever. You know, but that time to really fast, and instead of cooking dinner, you go pray, and you you weep and you mourn. It's what Jesus says: blessed are they that mourn. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then you don't rend your garments. It's deeper than your garments. You can rend your garments, but this is a little deeper. And I this is a challenging call to repentance that Joel has. You know, it's even deeper than tearing the outward. It's the inward. It's the heart. So you rend your heart, and don't rend your garments, and you turn to the Lord your God. And why would you do that? Because he's gracious and he's merciful. I'm so thankful for a father like that, a father that'll take us, you know, that'll take us back, that'll take us in. And these are just wonderful promises. He's gracious, he's merciful, God is slow to anger, he's of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Do you think God wants to have the day of the Lord come? Do you think God delights in sending that army into the nation of Judah? No. You know, his desire is that would not happen. His desire is for our good. He's a, you know, he causes the sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that our God is that way. He's a God that calls. And you know, as I read a passage like this, I think, Lord, help me to be that kind of a person. Help me be that kind of a person that will come to him with all my heart. And there may be times of fasting at times. There may be times of weeping for different things. There may be times of mourning, and it's a heart thing. You know, your garments are more the external. You know, change the external things. This God says, no, I want you to change the internal. I want you to change the inside. And then there'll be the blessings that come from that. Isn't that a great passage? Return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, rend your heart and not your garments. Because God is so good. That's a great description of God too. And then God saying, you know, I'm going to, listen, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. I love that. It's what I need. You know, I need that spirit to give me strength and to help me. And what impressed you in 1 Peter? But aren't those good verses? Keep those in mind. Joel. How about Peter? Well, again, such, you know, the truths at the end of the passage that Peter wrote, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of our God endureth forever. You know, I mean, our life is like grass. And you know, it's always exciting in the spring to see the flowers come up, and in the summer the flowers come up, and now it's time to cut them off, isn't it? I mean, they just don't look good anymore. You know, it's time to get rid of those flowers, and that's just, you know, that's the way our life is. You know, I met a student last night at Meyer, a former student, and, you know, I mean, he's 34. I mean, can you imagine this guy being 34, a grown man? I thought, where is the time gone? You know, it's just, and life, that's the way life is. I mean, how many years do I have left? You know, maybe 7. And if by strength, maybe 17, who knows? I mean, life goes so incredibly fast. All flesh is like that. It's just, it's a way, it's, and certainly there would be truths that would motivate us then to look at, and verse 4 is such a precious verse. That living hope that we have, chapter 1, verse 3. And let's close with that. I mean, we could pull out some other great verses here. But let's finish with that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, you know, God is a merciful God, and I just, it causes me to thank him for his mercy, which according to his abundant mercy, and we read about that in Joel, hath begotten us again unto a living hope, to a real hope, and it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, I love that thought. You know, I've got an inheritance that is not going to be corruptible. It's not going to be defiled. It's not going to fade away. Yeah, and compare that to our physical life. You know, our physical life is going to fade away. I called Hunter Fan. I don't know what kind of fans these are, but they're supposed to have a lifetime guarantee, you know. So I called them. I said, hey, you know, I need a new housing on this thing because I can't fix the switch. The switch is broken. He said, oh, we don't carry those anymore. I said, really? I mean, isn't it interesting? You know, they guarantee something for the, I mean, you think, I'm going to buy a Hunter Fan. I won't have to. I'm done. You know, I'm going to buy Craftsman tools. I'm done. They're lifetime warranty. I want, you know, buy a, I mean, I like that. I like things that go on and, you know, don't have to replace and don't have to fix. I like things that, you know, you try to fix your body. So, you know, you can go on forever in a sense. You know, I keep going. I want to just keep going. Well, that's not true here on earth. It's just a little bit, at times, can be discouraging. That's not the way it's going to be in heaven. Heaven's going to go on and on. And it's a wonderful place. And we've got that hope, that living hope. It's an inheritance. It's not going to be corrupted. It's not going to rust. It's not going to, and that, I thank the Lord, it's not going to get old. You know, it's not going to get sick. There's not going to be pain. There's not going to be tears. I love that. He's reserved this for us. It's not going to fade away. And I'm looking forward to that. We got together this last weekend at, we were at McCormick's Creek. Sorry to miss the wedding, because I like weddings. I really do. And we're going to be at one next week, Lord willing, in Gridley. Caleb Hare and Sophie Stefan. So that'll be nice. It'll be nice. It'll kind of get us warmed up for Seth's wedding. But anyway, I'm sorry I missed that. But one thing we talked about, Dad and Mom are gone now. And Dad passed away in November. And as my brothers and I talk, we're going to meet Mom and Dad on the Eastern Gate, at the Eastern Gate. I mean, and I'm looking forward to that. It's a living hope. And why is that? And it's because of Jesus Christ. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved. I mean, it's an awesome message. It's a message of encouragement. It's a message of hope. And it talks about the hope we have here, and we're not going to go on. We read it, but we rejoice in that hope. We look forward to that, to an inheritance. Think about this, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven. You know, some people are saying everything's been fulfilled. Jesus is coming back soon. They think Jesus is coming back soon. I mean, selfishly, I'd like to think about that and say, okay, come on, Jesus, come back and take us away. Allow things to be good. and I don't know when he's coming, and you don't know when he's coming, because they already think not is when he's going to come. But I know Dad Witzik used to always say, well, I think we might have to suffer just a little bit. I'm not sure he's just going to take us away. You know, the pre-trib, the mid-trib, the post-trib, it doesn't matter. But you know what? One day there will be an inheritance for us. And that inheritance, and keep this in mind. It's so encouraging. Inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for us. That's awesome. Everybody in this room that I see is going to go. So wouldn't that be awesome? Be a wonderful day, won't it? And we want to take our children with us. You know, we want to go to that. We don't want the circle to be broken. We want our grandchildren to go with us. You know, that's another level. We do want our neighbors to go with us. You know, we heard about that. And you know, we can't share with, probably, maybe we could, but probably not, share with everybody in the city, but we could share with one person, couldn't we? And I think that's what Brother Ken said this morning. You know, I'd like to, I don't know, what was it? Somewhere along the line, one person says, you know, I'm ready to go to heaven. I want to take somebody with me. And I could just see him, you know, as a rapture comes, he grabs one sinner as he goes up and he takes them to heaven. Well, I don't know how that all works theologically, but that's what we want to do. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to go to that place that's undefiled. You know, and before we go up, we got to look around. We got to grab one person to go with us. Okay? You know, grab one. Let's go. Yeah, let's take them up. And man, what a day of rejoicing that will be when Jesus we shall see. And so anyway. And there are some other good verses in there, aren't there, in 1 Peter. Some great verses. But we'll stop with that. And
have you ever inherited anything? You don't have to answer me. I've often wondered what that would be like, to get a letter in the mail and inherit something. Like, your mind right away goes to $1 million. Or, I mean, just change your life, right? But thinking about this inheritance, we often think about the wrong thing. We think about what we can relate to. We can relate to what would change our life now. But if we saw heaven, if we saw that incorruptible inheritance, I think our perspective would change, where we'd say, okay, that makes sense. That's incorruptible. It's eternal. I'm going to think about that verse. A real inheritance. The one that He gives to us. It's a gift. Nothing that we've done. He says in another verse there that He's going to keep us. We are kept by the power of His grace through faith unto salvation. Do you feel kept today? Are you looking at the inheritance? Are you looking at the blessing or not the blessing? That's a lot to think about this week. And when you think about it, it changes your attitude. You walk around not like you're hungry and mad, not like you're aggravated and sorry, but like you have a hope, an incorruptible crown. So may God bless the word. Let's sing a hymn, and then one of you pray.
Sing the Lord's Trust. Heavenly Father, we're humbled to be able to come in prayer. And Father, we fall on our knees in humble reverence and respect to you as our Savior and our King. And Father, we want to thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus, that Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die for us and shed that blood so that we can be free. And Father, we pray for those who do not know Jesus Christ and who have not called upon the name of the Lord. And Father, we pray in this day that more could come and taste and see, and Father, turn their back on the world and turn their eyes on Jesus. And help us to do that as well, Father, as we have been saved, we have been redeemed. Give us, God, a deeper longing to serve you in this week to come, and help us to walk by faith. And Heavenly Father, in this week, we do want to pray for those who are in Houston and Florida impacted by devastation. And Father, just pray that their physical needs could be met. And Father, that we could be generous with our resources, and also in prayer, Father, for those who are hurting in this time. Thankful, God, for our church here. And just pray, God, that we would continue to grow and that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. So, Father, thanks for the message today. Thank you for all things, for most importantly, salvation in Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name.